Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The city of Corinth was an exceeding carnal city, full of immorality. It's a place of all sorts of perversions and lewd living, carnal living. So in Paul's day, when they would see a crazy party animal, they'd call him a Corinthian. Corinth was the center of the Epicurean philosophy, which said that there is no eternity. Happiness and pleasure is all that matters. It's the here and now. So avoid all pain and let's party. You know the thing, go for the gusto. Grab all you can get because you only live once. You only go around once. Eat, drink, and to be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's kind of that philosophy. We still have some of that today. A lot of people steal, they take, they kill, live like animals because they think this is all there is. There's nothing else. This kind of thinking had filtered into the church, and they were teaching there really is no resurrection of the dead. In verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 15, and last of all was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul said, I was born just a little late, but I saw him. I saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. For I am least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He said, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I killed Christians. I persecuted the church. He even says in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I'm least than the least of all saints. You know, when we talk about Paul, that's one of my favorite Bible characters. I named one of my boys after him, Christopher Paul. And Paul saw his life and he said, I am chief of sinners. He said that at the end of his life. Not at the beginning of his life, but at the end of his life. Because you see, the longer that Paul lived, the more he realized how much and how wonderful Jesus is to him. How putrid his life is. How unworthy he is to be called a Christian. And he says, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. That's what happens when we become aware of who Jesus is. We see Jesus like Paul did. We see him as God. We see Jesus as holy, righteous. We see his beauty, his love, his compassion for you and me. And it makes me aware of my own sinfulness and how unworthy I am to be called a child of God. He calls us sons of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're sons of God. Then he says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. When they see how God worked in his life, when people saw that, they would praise God for his mercy. You see, when God works in our own lives, people see God's mercy and our light shines before men and they glorify him, not us. Because they see what God has done in our lives. How can God take me and use me that way? When we see God's grace, it will cause us to work out of a labor of love. That's why we do what we do. Our works is a result of our understanding of who God is and what He did. It's when we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, the result of that would be our work, our love for others, our going, our giving. All those things will become part of our life and what we do. You see, our works is not a way to get God to respond to us. Do this, Lord. Bless that. Help me. Give me this. Provide here. That's not why we serve God, but we serve Him because He saved us. Our works is the response of His goodness and His grace. In spite of me, yet a sinner, He saved me. See, the fallacy of the seed faith theology, see, that's where they mess up. They give, they go, they come to worship so they can get from God. See, you do those things because you've been redeemed. He blesses me and pours out His blessings in spite of me. In verse 12, there's seven ifs from verse 12 to verse 19. He says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? But if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Aren't you glad that He lives? You see, people have no hope. There's no meaning in life. A lot of people just exist. And that's the way these folks were. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. You might as well go for the gusto. Live it up. As they did in the Old Testament when men did that which was right in their own eyes. Devastating consequences in the life if Jesus is not raised from the dead. They said to Jesus, show us a sign in John chapter 2. And Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Y'all remember Houdini? He claimed that he would come back from the dead when he died. For 10 years, he died on October the 31st, Halloween. And for 10 years on Halloween night, they would all get together and hold hands and wait on Houdini to appear. And after the 10th year, his wife said, he's not coming back. Then there's a group that said in 50 years he'd come back. So in San Francisco, they went to his grave and they waited for him. And they're still waiting. He didn't come back. But Jesus said he would come back on the third day. He would rise again. And he did. He rose from the grave. In these verses in chapter 6, or verse 5 through 6 and 7, it talks about how many people had seen him after his resurrection. So our message, do you live a meaningless life? Is your life meaningless? Our message and their message was meaningless. But we have a, if Christ be not risen, then the message is meaningless. It says in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. That means it's empty. It's futile. No need of meeting at the church. No need of praying if Jesus didn't rise. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, the Day of Atonement. And he'd go into that Holy of Holies with a rope tied around his ankle. And he had little bells on his garments so they could hear him moving about. As he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and the people would wait to see if God would accept it. They relied completely on the work of the high priest. And that's what we've done. We rely completely on what Jesus did for us by dying. And he would come out in his linen white garment with sprinkled blood on it, and the people would praise the Lord. Jesus was wrapped in white linen, and he rose again, seen of many. I was unworthy, but he made me worthy because he's risen. Not only is our message meaningless if Christ is not risen, but our faith is vain, he says in verse, the last part of 14. But your faith is also vain. You see, the whole issue of the resurrection, that's the whole issue, is the resurrection. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. You see, without the gospel, we can't go to heaven. Yesterday, Brother Peoples and I was talking to a guy. That's the hardest thing that I've discovered, is to get a guy lost, to get him to see that he needs a Savior. But constantly people want to talk about how good they are. That, yeah, I'm okay, but if you died and stand before God, would he let you into heaven, and why? Well, I sure hope he would. You know, I do my best. You see, our best is not good enough. The resurrection makes Jesus unique in history. It validates his claim that he said he would rise again. And it means that my sins are gone. In verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. But my sins are gone. If Christ be not risen, it's just another religion. We sing that song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I was going to get Brother Peoples to sing that. Because he lives, my message has meaning and my faith has meaning. You see, it's my belief on him. I put my faith on him. For what he's done. Romans chapter 4 verse 24 tells us, I believe on him. The devils believe in him. They believe in him. And they tremble. Satan knows who he is. Not only is our faith is vain, and our message, but But our evangelism is meaningless. What we did yesterday didn't amount to a hill of beans going out visiting. But our evangelism, that means good news. The good news of the gospel is that Christ died for me and was buried and he rose again. We are found, he says, false witnesses. No hope, no help, no meaning in life. There is hope. There is meaning. Dr. Robertson used to say, how long do you tell somebody? As long as they're breathing, you keep going. It says in verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. The preaching of Christ would be senseless and meaningless if there is no resurrection. Faith in Christ would be useless since he's still in the grave. All the witnessing, all the witnesses and all the preachers throughout the ages would be liars if there's no resurrection. No one could be saved from their sins. It says in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. And all former believers would have died as fools. Verse 18 says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All that Paul did and Peter and all the disciples, they were just fools if there's no resurrection. Verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Christians would be the most pitiful people in the world if there's no resurrection. You know, people can come to Christ on their deathbed. I wouldn't recommend it, waiting that long, but people have. We know of one in the Bible, the thief on the cross. They bring nothing into the kingdom of God, but they'll be with Jesus forever in heaven. You know what I love about verse 18? Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I don't like that part, if Christ not be risen. But I like that where he says they're fallen asleep. That's what happened to my mom when she died. She just fell asleep. The doctor comes out and says she's dead. No, she just fell asleep. My dad just fell asleep, and one day I'm just going to fall asleep. And if you know the Lord, you'll fall asleep too. So a meaningless life. Is your life, does it have meaning? Do you have hope? Do you have assurance in your heart? We do, because of the resurrection. He's risen. That's why I love Easter. We celebrate his resurrection. So that's an important event in our life. In every believer's life, without the resurrection, there's no hope. I remember going to the hospital with my dad, and a man dying prayed and asked the Lord to save him. My brothers and I were going to roof a guy's house, or his garage that he had built. And a car passed us. It was one of those narrow, high Ford Bronco. And we saw the tire come apart and the car begin to swerve, started rolling, and we saw somebody come out. She was the only one in the car, so it was her. So we pulled over, ran to her, and it was awful. So I told her about the Lord while she was dying. I don't even know if she heard me. They say the last thing to go is your hearing. So when a person is unconscious, that's the last sense of our senses that goes is the hearing. I don't know how they know that. When people's in a coma, they come out and they say, you know, they heard people talking and so forth. So you never know. You to give the gospel to them. Tell them about Christ. They also say the first sense that we have at a month old is our hearing. The first we get and the last to go. My father-in-law, I've witnessed to him for years. We were married 34 years when he passed away. And he'd say, Anthony, it's going to be like that deer when we shoot. That's just what my life is going to be like. It's over. But he trusted Christ. I mean, he didn't have anything. He was 80 pounds or so when he died. His skin and bones. So he's going to be in heaven. Nothing to bring. But he's in heaven. I praise the Lord for that. So the question is, if your life is meaningless, then you need a Savior. If you have no hope for tomorrow, you need Christ. But we do have hope. We do have meaning. In our message, in what we say, because Christ is alive, He is the answer. So, make a list. Who am I going to reach for Christ? I have many family members that don't know the Lord. And I guess since they know me so well, they won't let me talk to them. No. It's kind of funny how your family don't want to listen to you, but they'll listen to somebody else. I used to play ball, but my boys thought I didn't know anything about ball. I'd try to tell them something. I'd say, Greg, Brother Greg Wasick, I'd say, talk to Matthew, talk to Christopher, talk to, you know. Now, he'd talk to them and they'd listen. I'm standing there and I'm thinking, I don't know if your kids did that. But we need to reach a lost world with the gospel. I praise the Lord for the resurrection. I praise the Lord that there is a message of hope. There is a message of love, what Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of Christ. Lord, I thank you that one day that you saved me. I thank you for these here today, Lord, for a salvation that you've so freely given us. And Lord, I pray that as we go, help us to realize, Lord, that the reason we do what we do is because of what you did for us. We don't give and we don't go and we don't work and serve to get things from God. But we do it because you love us and you saved us. And Lord, we're thankful for the blessings that you give us and the things that you do in our lives and the answered prayer. Lord, that's a blessing to us. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this service this morning. Help us, Lord, as we hear your word preached. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.